Welcome to The Coop with Kit. My name is Kit Hoover, and I have been lucky enough in my 30 years in this business to interview some of the most iconic badass women out there. We all know that girlfriends give the best advice, and they're all coming to The Coop. We're talking career, marriage, kids, sex, aging, all of it. I truly believe we are just hitting our stride. All right, my chickens, let's get into it. Today on the show, we have a world-renowned chef, author, restaurateur, TV host, philanthropist, total babe, proud mama of six incredible boys, my girl, Kat Cora. Now, this Southern girl has shattered every culinary ceiling for women, from being the first female to win Iron Chef to the first inducted into the Culinary Hall of Fame. Today, we break down everything from cooking for the Obamas to her top drawer sex toy recommendations. Kat is crushing it in the kitchen and the boudoir. We have so much to unpack here. So, all right, let's get into it. Are y'all recording? So, Kat,
yes.
Welcome to The Coop.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I feel so lucky to be part of this.
Well, you were one of my first calls because I really wanted to highlight badass women that I feel like not only get finer with age, but more successful is the key that I'm interested in. So, where are you right now? Are you at home in Montecito?
I'm in Santa Barbara, yeah, area.
Oh, Kat, you're up there with all those fancy people. I see how you roll. By the way, has Oprah ever called you up and just said, Kat?
Well, that's happened. She called me. It was Sunday. We were watching the U.S. Open. We were just hanging out in the living room watching it every day. And my phone, when Oprah does call me, it says, Oprah's calling. Oprah's calling. And I was like, what's up? I went into it was like a fire alarm going off. And I was like, I grabbed my phone, Oprah. And she goes, God, I need you. And I said, what's going on? And she goes, well, I really want to give Prince Harry a birthday present. And I said, that's amazing. She goes, I want to give him dinner from you and you cook for him, him and Meghan. And I said, great. When is it? I'm thinking it's 2 weeks from now. She goes, it's Tuesday.
What?
No problem. You know, I mean, we're always, hey.
Running and gunning.
No problem. Oprah, for you, anything. And so I did. And it was just a spectacular dinner. I mean, the dinner was like elevated.
What did you make?
Gosh, I made this great habanero coconut, margarita for him, and just this incredible. I do this chocolate fried chicken, and it sounds crazy, but it's cocoa is in. I put cocoa in the breading into the flour and mix it in. It's not poor chocolate. It is addictive, and a wasabi honey. So you have this like sweet hot. So I did that. I did a truffle grilled cheese for him. They actually asked for second hors d'oeuvres. So I brought them out a whole nother round. They watched the sunset, and then the dinner was just like, it was off the chart.
Did you get to stay at the dinner and like party and drink the margaritas?
I didn't party and drink until after it was over. I had my 18-year-old who's now 20 at UCLA. He was doing the dishes and he was bussing tables. He was like, it's like, you got this, take it.
On that note, have you ever been starstruck?
Wow. I would have to say when I cooked for the Obamas, I was pretty starstruck by them. When I cooked at the White House, and that was pretty historic for me. And just the fact that, you know, I was the first female chef that, not their chef, but outside of that, that cooked for them. And so I did this big, beautiful thing. And before they let all the guests in, they shut the doors and they just came in with me. And I had one of my sons there with me and he took pictures with me and I did Greek food. Obama picked up a lamb chop. He's like, Kat, this is amazing. And they were walking around. Michelle picked up a stuffed grape leaf. And she goes, oh my God, these are my favorite. We're just walking around, but just us, just hanging out. And they couldn't have been cooler people and so down to earth. And they're like both 6 feet tall. So the picture is like, and my son, he heard us campaigning and stuff. And so this is the picture. So they're trying to take a professional picture. And my son is like this the whole time. But Obama, he couldn't believe that he's seeing him and saw him on TV. That was pretty amazing.
Did you take anything from the White House, like the matches or the matches? I don't know, something from the bathroom.
You got to go in the bathroom and get the napkin because it has a seal on it. I just told a friend of mine, they were going to do a visit And we were so lucky. We got invited this year to go to the Christmas party at the White House, but we couldn't go, unfortunately. But I said, when you go, go to the bathroom and get some of the napkins, you know?
Bring them to your house and then nobody's allowed to use them. Just lay them out there. As a chef, is it fun for you to cook for everybody else in your family when that's what you do for a living?
I actually cook all the time. I mean, I think that a lot of people, I know this is their job, so they go home and they're like, I'm done, you know, but for me, it just is my zen place. It makes me feel connected to the family and to my home, because I love being home. And so I cook a lot. And of course, having six boys, it's like teenagers. I'm cooking all the time. It's like cook, clean, do laundry, rinse, repeat.
I only have three kids. I have two girls and a boy. So Kat, my son can drink a gallon of milk a day. He's 16. You have six boys. What are the ages?
I have two 14-year-old twins. We have a 15-year-old. We have a 16-year-old, 18 and 20. One is in college. So we still have five at home. And it's true. They drink a gallon of milk. They don't eat three meals a day. It's like 10 meals a day. It's double that for boys, especially teenagers, because they're growing. And so it is literally like I'm running a small restaurant in my home.
And what about laundry? I think my son too, any clean clothes, he just throws it in the laundry pile as well. And I'm like, I'm constantly jamming my wash in that. And I thought of you. He's one. You have six, Kat. How much laundry do you do a day?
I wish I had a picture of it. I just actually got through it. And like, I think it took me 3 days, but I have got just piles. Like it is bigger than me. So I'm doing the same thing. I'm stuffing. How much can I get?
Now, did you always want to be a mom, Kat?
Oh yeah. I always wanted to be a mom. I mean, I loved babies then when I was little, and it was important to me, like, to be a mom and to, you know, have that experience. And if someone that I was dating along the way didn't want to have kids, it was just a deal breaker, because that's just something I always was really, really important to me.
Same. It's so funny. From a young age, I knew that was sort of like my dream, that I always wanted to be a mom. I always knew a career would be something for me. I didn't know what it was. And I know we share that drive. How would your boys describe you?
I could be funny and self-deprecating. So for me, I like when they tease me a little bit. You know, it's all really sweet-spirited, but you know, they just think I'm funny because they're always like, mom, come on. You know, like I'll start singing or I'll start dancing or I'll start like, I'm always hugging and kissing on them and like, give me a hug. Come on. I think they would describe me as just really funny and really soft. Like I'm really, what people probably don't know about me is I'm a softie. Like I'm a real softie. When I'm working, yes, I'm very driven. I'm very fierce in my work. But when I'm home and with my family, I'm just a real softie. And it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. It truly is. Like, I feel like I've been really blessed. I've worked really hard to have so many successes, but I feel like that's my greatest accomplishment is being an incredible mom. And I give myself credit. I think that my kids really, really love me. I love them. We have this whole love fest and it's just amazing. And I know that you have that with your kids too.
Speaking of success, let's go way back. Let's talk about little Kat Cora starting off.
Little Kathy Cora from Mississippi.
Oh, little Mississippi, little Kat. We got the kitten Kat story right now. I know cooking was in your family. I know starting with your granddad, all of that. But what I find fascinating is at first, it wasn't going to be your path, right?
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, I went into physiology and nutrition and biology and, you know, was looking at pre-med and other things. And I think that I always came back to food. I mean, it was always something that being Greek American in Mississippi and having two strong cultures around me and, you know, a lot of amazing cooks, my mom, my grandmother, my dad, I mean, everybody around me was really phenomenal cooks. And I think that I just kept coming back to that love.
Yeah, wait, take me back. So what date was this? Because now, of course, you've broken so many glass ceilings and there's a lot of female chefs. But back then, I can't name one besides Julia Childs, which we will get to.
That was back in the really late 80s, early 90s. So we're talking 25 years or so. And there weren't any female chefs, you know.
And before going into this, did anybody tell you no? Like, hey, Kat, I know you're great at this and you like it, but not a path you want to go down.
Yeah. I mean, my godfather told me that he had restaurants and it's a tough business. He said, this is a really tough business. It'll eat you up and spit you out. And so when I saw that Julia Child was going to be in Natchez, Mississippi, I said, I want to go see her, you know, mom. So I talked my mom and my grandmother in doing a road trip to Natchez. And so we drove to Natchez and saw her at a book signing, and I met her, and she later became my mentor. She on the spot mentored me right there, like on the spot.
Okay, wait, I need to know what she said to you, the funniest thing and the most poignant.
Okay, the funniest thing was everybody was looking at their watch going, Julia, we're on a schedule. We're on a schedule. You know, all of her team. And she didn't care. She could have cared less because she had a young chef in front of her that wanted advice. And she was in the moment with me. And it was so, that was so poignant. And she told me something that I will never forget and never have. And I've always done it and followed her. Is she always said, I want to advise you. And then I want you to do is when you become a chef, I want you to pay it forward.
Love it.
And I said, I always will, you know. And the most important thing was she told me, go to the Culinary Institute of America. She said, start there. That's one of the best schools in the country. It's an Ivy League for culinary schools. And I literally went home and applied the next day.
Okay, wait. Anything funny from Julia that you remember that like nobody would really know about? Because I just find her fascinating.
It's so hard to say, but well, I mean, I definitely know that she liked her gin martinis.
Yeah, my kind of girl.
Gin martinis and steaks. And I have a funny story, a full circle moment, because I got to spend time with her at her house in Cambridge right before I was graduating from Culinary Institute of America. But I got to spend time with her, and that kitchen is now in the Smithsonian Institute, which was really cool. But a funny story of mine, she ended up retiring to Santa Barbara, where I live now. But this is where she passed away.
Oh.
She lived the rest of her life in Santa Barbara. Isn't that a full circle moment?
Wow. I didn't know that.
So a friend of mine who knew her really, really well, and she's French and she's a chef here. And she was telling me these funny stories because she'd go out to dinner with her. And this is when Julia's in her 90s, right?
You don't give a you know what at 90. Double up on the gin martini.
She did not care. But she was living in an assisted living home here in Santa Barbara. And she'd be in her wheelchair. They'd take her to lunch. And the nurses would say, don't give her. She likes her wine. She likes, do not, she can't have any. Don't give her any. She told me that she was at lunch with her one time. And she said, nope, I promise, you know, I'll watch out for her and all that. She took her to lunch and Julia said, I'll take a bottle of Sancerre. And she goes like this, shh. She goes,
I love it. Shh. Oh, that's so great.
Just like love life. I mean, was celebrated, obviously, wherever she went. Love life. Loved her cocktails, loved her great food. I mean, she just lived life to the fullest and she lived to be in her 90s. So she's an amazing woman.
Well, I know she's loved following your success. What was the moment, though, when you felt successful or that you had made it?
You know, I know that I've broken a lot of glass ceilings that can never be rebroken. I mean, you know, being the first female Iron Chef and being the first female to be inducted into the Culinary Hall of Fame and those kinds of things I know can never be, you know, done again. And so that is a really wonderful feeling. And I worked really hard to be there. When I was going to the Culinary Institute of America back in the early 90s, there were only 5 women in my graduating class out of 250 men.
Were the men nice?
I think that, you know, I came in kind of hot. and I really got in there and proved myself in school. I think the guys, you know, in my class were really respectful. I'm sure there was one or two, but I don't remember that. What I do remember, though, there was a lot of old guard European instructors that did not like the fact that women were now being allowed into the school. And they made that really clear. So there was...
What would they say or do?
There was one instructor who said, you know, why are you here? You should be back in Mississippi barefoot and pregnant.
Oof. You said, I will have my babies, but on my own time, sir. Let me ask you a total vacuous, frivolous question. The show The Bear. Is that accurate? I'm picturing that Michelin star restaurant when Joel McHale's yelling in his face, Jeremy Allen White's face. And does everybody yell chef and corner? And does that happen at your house?
Yeah, I have everybody call me chef. Chef, yes, chef. Chef, yes, chef.
Yes, chef. Corner.
Corner. Behind you. Yeah. I mean, that definitely is real. I mean, when I worked, I was saying in 3-star Michelin, I apprenticed in two 3-star Michelin kitchens when women were not allowed in kitchens. And I got 8 rejection letters telling me, we don't allow women in our kitchen. Sorry, you can't come.
And were you ever discouraged?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have doubts. And going back to The Bear, yeah, that's real. I mean, I had chefs spitting, screaming, cursing me out. And you just stand there and you just go, yes, chef. Yes, chef. Yes, chef. You know, and... you know, it's tough, but that's what you did. And that's how I was raised in these kitchens. Like I said, we were pioneering that time.
Wow.
You know, and paving the way because it was still really rough.
So Kat, anybody listening, maybe it's not cooking or a chef, but that is going into something that's really hard and not paved for them. Best advice you can give them?
I'd say best advice is to be fierce about it. If that's something, that's your passion and your dream, don't ever give up. You're going to have doors shut in your face. You're going to have people that are going to make you doubt yourself. And you just have to continue to believe in yourself no matter what. There was many nights I laid awake going, what do I do? Or being terrified to walk into a restaurant. I mean, that first day walking into a 3-star Michelin restaurant with all men, when you know that everybody really doesn't want you there. I was terrified, but I took a deep breath. You have to believe in yourself. You have to close your eyes and really say a prayer and believe in yourself and go for it because you have one life. I've never let anyone stop me from doing anything because, you know, whether it's my mom who having strong women in my life, having a dad who always told me I could do anything I wanted to, which was always reflecting me from a male point of view.
Is that a big one? Because I have that with my dad. It was all about empowerment for me and my athletics or my smarts or my whatever he saw in me. It was never about the traditional things. I really think that's so important, especially for women. As a young girl, he loved my grit and my hard work. That's what he celebrated. And I just thought that was normal. His nickname for me was Junkyard Dog from the Jim Croce song. He's like, your grit and your passion is what, you know, what he celebrated. Did your dad have a nickname for you or anything?
My dad had a nickname for me, but it was very opposite of yours. I like Junkyard Dog.
Do we?
I love that song. But mine was Pooh Bear.
Pooh Bear.
He'd always call me Pooh Bear because I loved Winnie the Pooh growing up. My dad, I really believe, and to all the dads out there listening as well, and you know, really, really encourage your daughters to be the best they can be and to be anything they want to be because that goes a long way for a father figure to tell their daughters. I mean, yeah, your mom, you know, mother-daughter relationship is beautiful and complicated, but like having a dad or having a male figure,
yeah,
because not everybody has a dad, you know, but having a male figure in some way, whether it's a grandparent, whether it's a male
teacher,
the family, give encouragement to the girls because, you know, women can do anything that men can do. I mean, they can cure cancer. They can be on Iron Chef and cook as hard as fast. They can be amazing co-hosts and incredible women like yourself who do so much for the joy and you know, happiness for people every day. I mean, and I'll say this too for all the women out there is we got to lift each other up and empower each other. We have to do that. There's enough for everybody to go around. So important.
Yes. You and I are wired to build up every other person around, especially females. More is more. Let's bring them in. We always fix each other's crown.
We always tilt it.
Tilt just a little something. I was thinking about back to the Bear. I was reading about you wanting to get into acting. Did you see those guest stars they had last season? This would be fantastic for you.
I know. You need to make a phone call. For me, I think it's one of the first authentic cooking shows that's ever been put on, whether it's movies or shows that's really told the story in a good way, in a right way.
What about Dancing with the Stars, Miss Kat? You were so good on the Dirty Dancing show.
I'm waiting on Dina Katz to give me the go-ahead over there. So she's got to put me on. I mean, I'm ready. Call me. I'm ready. I got my dancing shoes ready. I got my moves. I'm ready to go. So that would be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
Let's play a little game before I eat up all of your time here.
No, I'm having fun. We could talk for, you know us.
Forever.
See, we are so connected. I don't know why somebody hasn't called us to do the Kit and Kat show, morning show.
Everybody calls me Kat. Nobody calls you Kit. Like, Kit's a weird one. They go right to Kat, and I just go with it.
Which makes cringe if they don't hear it right. They say, Pat.
Come on, Pat. Oh, that's great. Wait.
Don't call me Pat.
Don't call you Pat. I can give you the best nickname. In 7th grade, Hal called me Kid Taurus. And at first, I was like, I kind of got wellied, like tears. Like, I kind of hurt my feelings. But then I was like, that's so genius, Hal. I'm going to go with Pooh Bear. And you
Cat
can.
Taurus.
Cat Taurus.
Cat Taurus.
Cat Taurus and Kid Taurus might be the greatest nickname on the planet. You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm going to take that.
Would you like to play a little game? Okay. It's called Let's Get Random. I saw that Brandy Glanville wanted to settle down with you. She said, you are the one. I don't know if this is a crazy old headline, but if you were going to have to settle down with one housewife, I'm going to go with Countess Luann for me. Who would it be for you?
And now a word from our sponsors. Hey everyone, I'm a jeans girl, and if you're like me, you need to know about Blue Delta jeans. Blue Deltas are custom fit for your body type. You send in your measurements and they custom fit them to you. I've truly never had jeans that fit me this perfectly, and honestly, it's been a game changer. Their easy measurement process to get your custom fit and their unique hand-sewn jeans are the best you can get. You will not believe how great they feel. And with white jeans season upon us, Blue Delta jeans should be your go-to. I'm completely obsessed with their incredible custom white vintage jeans that come in straight and flare styles. Trust me, you will live in them. Go to BlueDeltaJeans.com and enter the code COOP20 for 20% off your new perfect jeans. Bubs Naturals is known for more than just collagen. Every morning I start my day with their new Bubs Brew coffee and add their amazing MCT creamer. Now, Bubs Brew is a curated collection of amazing organic coffee that is very strong and tastes delicious. Now, I love strong coffee, and Bubs Brew delivers. For extra added mental focus, I add their MCT creamer. It's the first Whole30 approved MCT creamer with no sugar or artificial flavoring. When I use it, I swear I feel the extra energy and mental stamina to be sharp for two live shows, my workout in the morning, and of course, then interviews for the Coop with Kit. Thank you, Bubs, for keeping me sharp. Go to BubsNaturals.com and use Coop20 for discounts on all the amazing Bubs products and living better longer. So some of you know that I've recently taken up golf and I can't get enough of it. And I'm equally obsessed with this ladies' golf clothing brand that I found. It's called Lola, L-O-H-L-A Sport, Lola Sport. And I love that it's a female-owned brand, super fashionable pieces that can coordinate to make many outfits, on-trend colors, fine European fabrics, and a great fit. In fact, I find that I'm wearing Lola Sport outfits even when I'm not on the golf course. I could wear it all day long. If you're a sporty lady like me and really don't want to change clothes five times a day, you'll love Lola Sport. And for our listeners, you can get 20% off full price merchandise with code COOP20 at checkout at lolasport.com. And now back to the Coop.
Who would it be for you?
I would have to say I would do a inhabitation with like Bethany, because she can bring in the money, girl.
She can make it rain.
That's it. That'd be only reason. That'd be only reason. I'd just be like, Bethany, let's go. Let's collaborate. Come on.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Finish this sentence, Kat. Aging is
beautiful.
Right.
So beautiful. So empowering and beautiful. It is to me. You have to say to all the ladies out there is embrace aging. And we're so blessed to be on the earth another day.
Yeah.
I'm 56 years old. When you get to be 56 years old, you know, it's like every year now you're like, wow, this is, I'm healthy. I'm still in the best shape of my life. I mean, I'm in better shape now than I was in my 20s.
Same.
And I just thank God every day that, you know, I'm here another year and my children are healthy and I'm healthy. And I just think that we have to, you know, try to look at aging as a blessing.
Tina Turner said it greatest. She said she wants to age gratefully. And I'm 53, so I'm right there with you. And there is something about the 50s that I feel different. I just want to be grateful for everything. But I love that feeling of, hey, let's just roll with what we got cooking and go for happiness and gratefulness instead of the other.
Love the aging gratefully, because I do feel grateful. And, you know, life throws us curveballs all the time. I mean, it is not linear. It's definitely a curvy road. And, you know, I mean, I agree with you 100% is that it just feels good when you can let go.
Let go.
And just accept it. Because you look amazing, by the way. You look gorgeous.
Right back at you. When I got this job, when I met you, Kat, at Access Hollywood, my boss, his name's Rob Silverstein. I love him. But when he hired me, he said, Kit, you know what I love about you? I'm not hiring you based on your looks. And at first I was like, oh, is that like, thanks? But if you think about it, Kat, as we talk about women, like what a great thing. He's saying you're much more than all of that. And I think that leans into how we age now. It's like, be more than all of that. Be grateful, be happy, be driven, be smart, be kind, all of that.
That's sexy. sexy to me.
That's sexy.
When a woman is confident, there's nothing sexier than that.
Yeah.
When someone is just confident in like where they are right now. We're exactly where we're supposed to be right now.
We are. Except the one thing, menopause, Kat, can you help me? Oh, yeah. What the mother effing heck is going on?
I think that, yeah, I'm going through that right now. And I've just realized that this is what's happening.
Yep.
And, you know, I've definitely leaned into it and said, okay, power up, you know, you got to change your mindset. So I changed my mindset. You know, I have like a really, really high sex drive. And so, can I say that?
Yeah, yes, please, giddy up.
I have a really, really high sex drive. And so I like sex every day.
You're my hero.
Seriously. I mean, and if we can do multiple times, okay, that's good too. But I
share that secret. Okay, whoa, I need more of this.
You know what it is? It's a mindset.
Are you doing that cream?
Oh, I'm not doing anything.
I want to want sex twice a day. Keep going.
You know what? The mindset. Look at it like this. Women, we could say, I got to get to the gym. I got to get to the gym. And you know what? You get to the gym, right? I got to get to the gym. I got to get that deadline done. I got to get this done. Say that about sex. I got to get that, whatever it is.
Got to get it. Bring it to mama.
I got to get that.
Yeah.
And I think the more we say that and the more we open ourselves up, because I do think also as we get older, we feel like, oh, well, we're not as, you know, and no, you got to be
bullshit.
Like, it is a state of mind. So is having sex on a regular basis is a state of mind. I really, really believe that. And I don't have any medical proof, nothing like that. So don't quote me on that. Don't text me. Don't write me. Don't DM me, people.
Oh, please. The DMs that are coming in for you now.
The DMs.
I love talking about this with women because our parents' generation did not talk about it. I want to shift the whole perspective on this. I'm down for cream. I'll do whatever keeps everything vibrant and young.
Yes. And I realize everybody doesn't have the sex drive I have. I get that. There's a lot of things you can do. And it's not one position or one thing. Like, you know, I always say this, that sex can be anything. Sex can be showing off for your man or your woman.
I see your new book, Kat. You've got all your cookbooks, but I think the positions for Kat Cora.
Yes.
I'm telling you, this could be a whole new thing.
Okay. Put that on the checklist too.
Add that to the checklist. One reason I want to do this podcast too is I feel like in my 50s, I don't feel like I've even hit my stride yet, Kat. There's so much leading me, but I feel like, oh my gosh, now we have a little more knowledge. We're figuring out what we want and asking for it and going for it.
You're amazing. And I'm so glad you're doing this too, because I think it's so important that women do talk about this really openly.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that we put so much pressure on ourselves, and the outside world puts so much pressure on women. We have to be everything to everybody. And I think that this is an area where we take care of ourselves, especially with sex.
Yeah.
And wow, she's having the same issues I have with menopause and perimenopause. And then, you know, you have all of these issues. So I think it's amazing that we're opening this up, because you know, I think that I'm really, really open and liberal about sex. I like to try a lot of different things. I'm very curious. I'm very, very kinky in the bedroom. And I don't think everybody's like that, but I think that you can be a little more open if you just let yourself. And I think part of that is understanding that the traditional things that work for us or that were told to us doesn't have to be your norm. You know, you can make your own norm. You know, what is your sex normal? You know, what is your sex fantasy? What is your sex dream? And how do you want to have that?
Let me just leave it at that right there. Let me ask you this. What is in your bedside drawer?
Oh God. Vibrator, a dildo, lube. I have two vibrators. One is the magic wand. I like those the best. The magic wands. I could do a whole tutorial on sex toys and everything else.
This is great.
The magic wand, because it has a lot of power.
This is the best. This is great.
Those little ones, those little bunnies or whatever, they don't work for me.
No,
that's out. That's done.
By the way, this segment sponsored by Kat Torres and Kit Torres.
On all things menopause and sex.
Who would you want to nominate to come to the Coop with Kit next?
Oh, wow. There's so many women that I love. So many people. Like, wow. I would say Oprah would be one of my, Gail King is amazing too.
When I ask them what's in their bedside table, you and I will have to have a huge giggle.
I can't wait to hear that.
Right? It's the greatest question. Harper, my producer, came up with that.
Well, there's a dildo, magic wand.
This is what I love. We need all of this. Okay, and last thing for you. One word to describe where you are in your life right now.
I would say one word, Transition. I feel like I'm always, and I'm transitioning. That's why I say to women especially, but all of us out there, that we're always transitioning into this new chapter, and always, not monetarily, richer in our souls. Growth is amazing. And I think that I've really embodied that because I've had to do so much of it over my lifetime and in different phases of my life. So I would say I'm transitioning into this amazing full-time career woman, but also full-time mom. And I'm absolutely embracing it. And so that's been a beautiful thing in my life this year. But had I listened to everything else, all of the noise out in the world, I would have never, you know, done groundbreaking things or what have you. And I think that that goes back to creating your own destiny. I knew I was going to have children no matter what. You just have to tell yourself that you deserve that. I saw a survey one time of what is one of the sexiest things about people, about that you find in someone that might be a partner. And then one of the number one things was not looks, capability. Are they capable? Being capable. Like people don't know this, but I can fix anything around the house. Like I'm super handy. Like I'm a super handyman, handy boy girl. I'm a handy boy girl. I can do anything, fix anything. The only thing I don't fix is plumbing and electrical.
Okay. So my friend cooks, she can fix anything in the house, and she has sex twice a day and is the greatest mom on the planet.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic right there. Well, Kat, I just love you so much.
Oh, I love you.
Love and light. I really do.
And I really do. Like we are sisters. I'm seriously. I've always felt that from the moment I met you, that we had this kindred spirit. So I've always just so admired you. And
right back at you.
Yeah, definitely. I love you.
Big hugs. Thanks, Kat. Okay, bye, guys. Coop, there it is. Oh, a huge thank you to Kat Cora, who continues to inspire me and make me blush. I love what she said about how to make sex a state of mind. I really love that. She says, make it a priority, not a chore. Not sure I can pull off a two a day, but hey, I can dream. Thank you for joining us, my chickens. If you like this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating, drop in a great review, and tag us at The Coop with Kit Hoover. As well, you can follow us on social media at The Coop with Kit Hoover for behind the scenes content and updates. See you next time in The Coop. And remember, as my mom Bug always says, life is not a dress rehearsal. Make it count. Today's episode was produced by me, Kit Hoover, and Harper McDonald. Our technical producer is Christian Brown. And today's episode was edited by Christian Brown. Business development by Casey Ladd. And a special thank you to all of our sponsors.